That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
The police!
Recent historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to
the police,
asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
Welcome to Speak Out. It's the last day of June 2026 as we approach America's sesquicentennial? Maybe my guest knows the proper terminology. Alex Colladen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Did I get it right, Colladen?
Yeah.
I thought so. Okay, perfect. So that's Steven Tyler, by the way, Red, White, and You. He actually did a country album eons ago, I'm told. But is it semi-sesquicentennial? Is that correct?
It is correct, but don't ask me to pronounce it because I will screw it up.
You'd rather just say America 250, right?
I'd rather have you screw it up.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. I appreciate that a lot. Alex, you're a current state rep, are you not, or are you termed out?
I am a current member of the Arizona House of Representatives.
Are you going to be termed out?
No, but I am running for Secretary of State, so I'm not running for re-election.
I understand. Then why, if you're not termed out, would you run for higher office like Secretary of State?
So Adrian Fontes, our current Secretary of State, has been a nemesis of mine for a long time. I had to take him to the Arizona Supreme Court back in 2020 when he tried to seize the power to decide who voters intended to vote for. I've had to take him to court several more times for trying to do things that he accuses President Trump of trying to do. For example, for trying to ban protests in city centers on Election Day, for trying to criminalize dissidents who disagreed with him, because the Secretary of State actually has the power to make some of our criminal laws. And I've been cleaning up after him for over half a decade. I'm getting real sick and tired of his nonsense. It will be easier for me to get rid of him and do the job properly by doing it myself.
Okay, let's go into some background a little bit. Why do you think you can take out Secretary of State Adrian Fontes as far as unseating him?
So there's not a man alive who knows better all of the illegal and shocking things this guy has done. Ever since he was Maricopa County Recorder, his entire political career has been one long trail of failing to follow the law. Even before I sued him in my capacity as an attorney back in 2020, Mark Brnovich's office had to sue him because he tried to send out 300,000 ballots illegally in the Democratic presidential preference election. And so I'm best poised to make the case against him because I've been doing it for 6 years.
Interesting, because Secretary of State Fontes just came off a state tour where he's pushing mail-in ballots and telling people mail-in ballots are here to stay. And I find this really interesting to coincide with the Supreme Court decision that upheld a lot of states' decisions to keep mail-in voting. What is your take on all this, and how do you feel about mail-in ballots?
My take on all of this is that this is another example of Secretary Fontes failing to understand his role. The Secretary of State's role as an executive branch official is to take care that the laws that the people and legislature prescribe are faithfully executed. We're not supposed to weigh in on substantive policy at all. The people and the legislature have ordained that we have mail-in voting, and it's the Secretary of State's job, therefore, to administer it as efficiently, as securely, and as lawfully as possible. That's it. I'm not going to use that position the way Fontes does as a bully pulpit to go on MSNBC and call everybody I disagree with Nazis. I'm not going to use it as a bully pulpit to abuse my authority and try to throw people in jail, or in the words of one federal judge, try to throw out votes from entire counties and potentially disenfranchise millions of Arizona voters. That's not what I'm going in there to do. I'm going in there to take the laws that you as the people give me and run those laws through a system that will make you proud, that will turn our state's elections from being a national embarrassment into a national and international model. That is my goal, and that is my aim.
There's a longtime guest of this program, Alex, that says, and I think I remember hearing him say it as well, that Fontes said if elected governor or elected secretary of state, he would make sure that no Republican ever got elected in the state of Arizona. Do you remember him saying anything like that?
Look, I don't know that he said that, but I will say he certainly has a habit of saying things like that.
Oh.
This is a guy who's just, he's so far beyond. You know, you and I, we know Democrats in our personal lives. They're normal people. They disagree with us on politics. That's not what Adrian Fontes is. He is not even a Katie Hobbs-style Democrat. Adrian Fontes is a Zoran Mandami-style radical that will stop at nothing to transform this state into his socialist, DEI utopia. And that is why he is willing to do things like try to disenfranchise members of law enforcement by putting barriers between them and the ballot box, because he knows that they're probably not going to vote for him. And so he's willing to have their votes not be cast in order to gain political advantage. That is who we're dealing with when we're talking about Adrian Fontes, and he would very much like to be governor of this state, and that's why we got to stop him here, and we got to stop him now.
Wow, that's a really interesting comparison, especially when you consider the lieutenant governor law that goes into effect this year, which would effectively cancel out Fontes as seceding the governor if something happened to the governor who's in office. That's pretty interesting. Now we're going to have a lieutenant governor between Fontes and the governor's chair.
Yes, we will. But Fontes has got his eye on that prize. This is why he was not satisfied when that lieutenant governor position came in. If your listeners will recall, he tried to run for Grijalva's old seat and was told, though, by the voters of even very blue Pima County. That's how radical this guy is. And he also tried to position himself to run in a primary against Katie Hobbs and realized he couldn't win that either. So this is a very weak incumbent who, in his quest to gain power, has opened himself up to being taken out because of his radical acts.
All right, and we'll talk about that possible race after we talk about the primary a little bit more. I want to talk about how did you get to where you are now? Where did you grow up? Where did you receive your education, say go to high school, go to college, get your law degree? Tell us a little bit about that.
So I went to high school at Chandler High, college and law school back east at Georgetown and the University of Pennsylvania, which I call my exile period. It was extremely cold. I got my law school diploma. I got on a plane. I flew home the next day. I was so done with the East Coast. Best decision I ever made in my life besides marrying my wife. And then did what everybody in my family has done, which is I started a business. In my case, hung out a shingle as a lawyer. Thought I was going to do real estate law, commercial law, and it just so happened that the first case that came in my door was an election law case Some folks had asked for the metadata from their county central tabulator computer. Couldn't find anybody willing to take on the fight. As the guy 8 months out of law school said, I'll do it, and developed a reputation over many years of doing that sort of litigation. And eventually, when people were crying out for reform in the election system, they put me in the state house, where I've actually been able to deliver that under very challenging circumstances of divided government. And now I'm running for Secretary of State to finish the job of cleaning up our state's elections.
In what way have you delivered that?
So in 2024, I found a way to leverage Katie Hobbs to sign a very substantial bipartisan election security package that did things like put in place legally binding rules for how to conduct the signature verification process to ascertain the identity of people who voted by mail. Because up until that point, our state had no such legally binding rules. And as people who followed Carrie Lake's 2022 trial saw, you could put up the signatures from the voter file next to the ones on the envelope. It could be obvious to a blind squirrel that they don't match, and the judge had nothing he could do. And the judge was right, by the way, because what the judge said was all the law says is that the officer in charge of elections has to be satisfied. He says that he's satisfied. That's because we didn't have any rules that were legally binding for how to conduct that process. I put them in the law. You might have heard about the Runbeck situation that we had in Maricopa County, where the number of late early ballots that the county said they delivered to Runbeck and the number that Runbeck reported on its inbound manifest was off significantly by 30,000-40,000. That's because there was no chain of custody for the late early drop-offs that voters get by mail, return in person to the polls on election day. We put that into place in the law. Ever since 2019, when my primary opponent was working for Katie Hobbs, Katie Hobbs, the Secretary of State, purported to exclude lawful political party observers from early in-person vote centers. The only county that took her up on that was Pima County. And then since then, there have been no observers at those early in-person voting locations. I got those restored both by working with our old House General Counsel, and then when they tried to get around the change in the Elections Procedures Manual that we negotiated, by using some additional leverage I had to get Katie Hobbs to sign a bill that made clear that no matter what you call a voting location, you must allow in lawful political party observers. And then just a couple of weeks ago, I managed to accomplish what nobody in D.C. seems to have been able to do for years, which is to get the SAVE Act, which was my bill, passed and onto your ballot. And you, as an Arizona voter, will have the opportunity to choose to enact into our law in November things like universal government-issued ID for every voter, to constitutionalize our common-sense requirement that only citizens get to vote, and to speed up our election results and ban foreign funding of our elections. That is my track record of reform that I've managed to conduct in a bipartisan fashion. Now, not to say I didn't have to leverage and twist arms, but I did manage to get that done in a circumstance of divided government. And so when people are looking at my track record going, what kind of Secretary of State will he be? You can look at my legislative career to measure my effectiveness.
All right. Perfect. I had a question from a person texting in. I have to find that. That was on my phone. But the KNTR Talk text line is 928-727-5566. Or you can call in. Just because Alex Culloden is on the phone doesn't mean that you can't call in. It's 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687, if you want to ask Alex a question. And let's talk about what other offices have you held? Is it just a state rep? What district are you in?
So I have been a state rep since I was elected in 2022,
okay.
Took office in 2023. So all of that stuff I was telling you and more besides, I got done in two terms. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Very effective, very efficient, 4 years, and that's what I accomplished, which is what I told my voters I would deliver. My district is the northeast quarter of Maricopa County, Legislative District 3, includes North Scottsdale, Fountain Hills, Cave Creek, Anthem, and New River. It's a wonderful district. My only regret of leaving the legislature is not having those wonderful people as constituents, but I'm looking forward to finally delivering what I know my constituents want, which is an election system they can be proud of.
So let's talk about your primary opponent. She's a former chairman of the state Republican Party. Who was first in the race, you or her?
I was in the race about a year before she jumped in, and I think she only jumped in to maybe put a little speed bump in my way in my quest to take on Adrian Fontes.
Okay, how do you feel about, well, the first move, and was this a Fontes move or a Hobbs move, was actually moving the primary election date? How did you feel about that process?
So the primary election date move happened because we needed to do that. By the way, that was my bill that moved it. It happened because we needed to do that to protect our overseas military voters. Congress changed the law for the deadlines for the election cycles. And without moving the primary date earlier than it's been historically, our overseas members of the military would not have gotten to vote in the primary. And in fact, one of my colleagues, Representative Blackman, who had served as a tank commander, told me that one time he lived in a state that didn't do that when the deadlines changed, and he was disenfranchised. And we can never allow that to happen in Arizona. So that's why we did that. And because we had to fix that problem, that gave me the leverage to get Katie Hobbs to sign the bill that fully restored access by lawful political party observers. So I used it as well to get us some election integrity wins. But that is why that came about.
Okay, I see. Let's go ahead and we're going to take a short break. We'll come back and we'll talk more with Alexander Kaladin, and he's a candidate for Arizona Secretary of State, and trying to find some 4th of July music. I'm not used to working off the computer. Actually, we're doing the interview off of my phone, and that's normally where my music is. So if you'll forgive me, Alexander, that's why kind of a little disjointed on this end. Anyway, you can call in 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR, and you can text our text line 928-727-5566. Let's make this talk and text radio, not just listen radio. All right, Speak Out will continue in a moment with our guest, Alexander Kaladin. Back with more in a moment. Back on Speak Out, broadcasting live from the Speak Out kitchen with no sink. Would have loved to have you in the studio, Alex, but alas, you're stuck on the phone today. So maybe one day you'll get to Havasu and say hi to the voters here in this district, right?
No, I've been several times.
Oh, good. Perfect. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Also by TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City, and Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo. Great pizza, sandwiches, and salads. Home to the Booby Dropper, Main Street in Havasu. And check out the Speak Out archive at KNTRTalk.com. Go to the Speak Out tab, and you'll see it right there. And you can go right to this interview if you missed any part. Again, that's at KNTRTalk.com. Let's talk about the differences between you and your primary opponent. And again, we're talking to Alex Kaladin. He is a candidate for Arizona Secretary of State.
Well, I always like to say that I'm the only candidate this cycle that has the unique privilege of getting to beat two Democrats, one in the primary and one in the general. You know, my primary opponent worked for Katie Hobbs right up until 2020. when Katie Hobbs was trying to ban observers. My primary opponent opposed my efforts to restore Pima County GOP observers to early voting centers. Actually went so far as to defend Adrian Fontes and the radical socialist-endorsed Pima County recorder when they were trying to block me. She opposed my SAVE Act measure in the legislature and tried to have it killed. And she also opposes the federal SAVE Act because she doesn't believe that it's within the federal government's power to tell states that only citizens can vote in their elections, which is absolutely within the federal government's power. Besides which, Arizona voters voted for that back in 2002, I believe. And it's been federal law that's been obstructing Arizona voters from having that common sense requirement fully enforced ever since. So those are the differences between me and her. I think it's a pretty clear choice.
So I had a question sent to me via text on my phone about the I call them the fake electors. You had another name for it. You represented the wards, correct, in that case where they sent it was for the Electoral College. We're talking about the 2020 election. Talk about your involvement in that case and who you represented, and you don't use the word fake electors.
Well, I represented the wards when the Democrats in Congress decided to weaponize their offices and come after private citizens for their involvement in politics and try to criminally prosecute them, try to ruin their lives, try to subpoena them. It's just an absolute abuse of authority. And so I did represent them in that matter. And of course, Chris Mays later tried to indict them unsuccessfully because Chris Mays has never practiced law and knows nothing about being a lawyer and therefore failed to inform and indeed hid information from the grand jury that she used to try to indict them. So I'm very proud of standing up for their civil rights. And when I'm Secretary of State, we're going to stand up for the civil rights of every Arizona voter to protect your First Amendment rights, whether you're Democrat, Independent, or Republican, to the maximum extent of the United States and Arizona constitutions.
Did you take that case pro bono?
I took that. Well, I cannot talk about privileged aspects of my representation of a client. We're bound by certain ethical rules.
Oh, okay.
And so I would need client consent to talk about things like that.
I see.
Sorry.
I didn't know that. So I guess I learned something today about the legal profession. That's perfect. I didn't realize about your opponent that she worked for Katie Hobbs at one time.
Yes, but until very recently. And that was around the same time or a little bit after she had donated multiple times to Hillary Clinton when she was running against Donald Trump. I mean, this is definitely not a person that we want in charge of our elections. You know, I always tell people election integrity, that's not a partisan issue, right? I have no preference for having a D or an R in that office if either one of them is going to violate our laws and not protect the rights of Arizona voters. What we need to get in there is somebody who will do that regardless of party. And I know that I will be that person for everybody listening, whether you agree with me or not. You are going to feel that your rights are protected and your voice is respected.
What are your thoughts on mail-in ballots, Alex?
I think you asked me that. The Secretary of State is not supposed to have much thoughts on it, besides the fact that on the administration side, which is what the Secretary is charged with, we could be running that system a lot more efficiently and a lot more securely. Part of what I've done with the Save Arizona Act is have that government-issued ID requirement for all ballots cast. The Secretary of State, unless the legislature acts, which hopefully they will, because things should go through the legislature, can prescribe different ways for that to be implemented, give local communities choices in terms of how that's implemented, and also put in place mechanisms that give us greater transparency in that process and faster results from that process.
I've always been a little confused about that ID issue because anytime I voted, I voted in Nevada and I voted in Arizona over the years. And I've always been asked for an ID. I don't understand what the big deal is.
Well, there isn't one. As you rightly pointed out, Nevada, which is, if anything, a blue state, it put this in its constitution many years ago and doesn't seem to have had a problem with it. And I don't think Arizona is going to have any problem. In fact, what it does to have a government-issued ID requirement is it protects the rights of Arizona voters even better, not just because we have a more secure system, but because very young people, say you're just turned 18, or elderly people, well, your handwriting goes through a lot of changes. And so if you have to write your signature, even though we have rules for that now in terms of how to verify the signature, it will always be to some extent subjective. And that means you have a higher risk of having your ballot sent to curing, where you've got to catch that cure notice or your vote's not going to be counted. If you have an ID requirement, you have an objective standard that treats all voters equally, regardless of their age or physical condition, and ensures that they can have their votes counted with a minimum chance or a much reduced chance of having their ballot thrown out because they didn't see they got a notice that they needed to cure their vote. So it will be very protective of our Arizona voters, just like what Nevada has, just like what states like Florida and other states around the country that have implemented some form of this requirement successfully.
You know, it seems like we went to the Diebold, the computerized voting or the scan sheets, and we got away from the punch cards and all that to make voting faster. Ever since the 2000 election, if I remember right, when we had hanging chads and everything else. But now it takes 3-4 days to get a final result in some races, especially the very close ones. How do we get to where Florida is, to where we know the result when everybody goes to bed at night after they vote?
Well, one of the bipartisan election security reforms that I've had enacted into law is a requirement that counties allow people who bring back their early ballots to the polls on election day to show ID and skip the signature verification process, that process where they check your signature against the signature in your voter registration record. So one of the things that slows down our election results the most is those late early drop-offs, because the elections officials can't start processing them until you drop them off on election day. We have a lot of those in the state, and so it doesn't sound like it'd be that much work to check a signature, take a ballot out of an envelope and put it through a scanner, but multiply that 100,000, 200,000 times, and you're talking about a significant delay for very busy elections officials who are also busy doing a lot of other things. So by giving voters that additional option, we can have, we can cut down on the number of those ballots that have to go through that entire intensive process and speed things up. The other thing in the Arizona Save Act, is the requirement that ballots be counted at the polls. On election day, or election day ballots be counted at the polls, which will speed up the processing further. But the truth of the matter is, as I've learned in the legislature, all of the good reforms, they only give you the framework. Unless you have somebody in that office who knows how to administer them
properly,
in the world, and they won't achieve the intended purpose. This is why, since Mr. Fontes got into office in Maricopa County, and that's failed cycle after cycle, long lines, polling places getting closed down, voters getting disenfranchised because they couldn't stand in line for 3 hours, because he doesn't know how to administer a system, the system, given the laws that we already have. Mm-hmm. So no new law in the world is going to make him better at that job. That's why, in addition to changing the law, which I'm asking the voters to do, I'm asking them to change the Secretary of State and elect me.
Okay. You probably aren't aware of this, but the listeners would be. There's a little hiccup with the signal, and I believe I just fixed it. It was a switch from Wi-Fi to 5G. So I went ahead and took care of that, made it permanent. We were going through a Wi-Fi call. So there you go. All right. Yeah, no problem. Let's go ahead and take a short break. I know there are other things besides election law and election policy that the Secretary of State's office deals with. Is that correct? I'm almost positive. Yeah, I thought so. It has to do with business. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with Alexander Colladan, and he's a candidate for Arizona Secretary of State. Be back with more in a moment. You can call in as well. Just because he's on the phone doesn't mean you can't call in. 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR. Or you can text in at 928-727-5566. 928-727-5566 if you want to text your question to Speak Out. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. That's right.
Up my game and I'ma head out west where real women come equipped with scripts and fake breasts. Find a nest in the hills, chill like Flint, buy an old drop top, find a spot to pit. Then I'm a kid rocking up and down your block with a bottle of scotch and watch lots of crotch. Buy a yacht with a flag saying chill in the moment.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out, Little Kid Rock. Love that song, by the way. Cowboy. I don't know, you don't strike me as a cowboy, Alex.
I'm not, you know. One of the things I've always found in my my time in politics is that voters prize authenticity, and I try not to be like anything that I'm not. I asked my wife once if I could wear a cowboy hat, and she said no. And a little while later, I asked her if I could buy a pickup truck, and she said you would look ridiculous. Of course, she has a pickup truck because she's from Casa Grande, but she won't let me buy one. Okay, that's who I am.
That's funny. So, if but you are a golfer, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or
I'm the whole Scottsdale package. I used to be until I ran for Secretary of State. I can't say I've gotten to do much of anything else since then. But.
I tried to be a golfer once. Man, I ended up swinging like Charles Barkley. It got pretty ugly, man. Anyway, Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair, also Laughlin Ranch by Mojave College, Shooter's Outpost, Solar Power by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place by Legacy Rehab and Care, and by A&B Propane. You can find them online at abpropaneaz.com. And don't forget, it's all about buying local, or it's buy local. You know, I always like to ask our out-of-town guests about shopping local and that. Is there a shop local campaign for Scottsdale?
You know, I don't know about that. I think there's one in Phoenix for the valley as a whole, but uh-huh. I don't think there's one in Scottsdale in particular.
You should have one just for the pro athletes that live there.
we kind of do. It's called the Scottsdale Fashion Square. I tell people one of my first campaign stops, you know, a year and a half ago when I started running, uh-huh. was up in Yavapai County for 4th of July parade. And I did what I always wear to campaign stops in my district, to wear suit and tie, cause that's what voters like to see in my district. And I think I almost got tarred, feathered, and ran out of town.
Definitely.
So I did what any, you know, reasonable Scottsdale lawyer would do. I went down to Neiman Marcus, got myself a pair of jeans, and took them to my tailor.
You know, I was at a steakhouse one time in Tucson, and it's a really famous place too. They even had a little Ferris wheel out there. And, I saw them cut a tie one time off of someone's neck.
No, see, you don't want to do that with me though, okay? Cause it's not going to end well. I may be a little bit scrawny, but you cut my tie off,
yeah?
and we're going to have some words.
So you're kind of like Hannity in that respect. You'll go all, Chuck Norris on the guy. Is that
exactly.
It?
Exactly. You'll see my long lost karate skills.
That's pretty funny. We call him Karate Man on this show. That's Sean Hannity right to a T. All right. Let's talk about, Alexander Colladan and your endorsements for Secretary of State. What are they?
Well, I'm very proud of my endorsements because, you know, a lot of times in politics, endorsements are given for whatever reason. You like one guy, don't like the other guy, political alliances. Most of my endorsers are people who have seen me in action. For example, Abe Hamadeh He's endorsed me. I'm on his legal team. Very proud. Congressman Gosar has endorsed me. And the reason that he endorsed me is a bunch of Adrian Infantes' buddies tried to remove him from the ballot under the 14th Amendment. Yeah, the same people who say that they want to defend democracy try to take away your right to reelect your congressman. Okay, and I had to go to the Arizona Supreme Court and actually defend democracy, which we did because I beat their butts. Okay, he's endorsed me. I have Eli Crane, who's endorsed me. Justin Heap, who's endorsed me, who served on the House Elections Committee with me, and whose legal team I'm on currently. John Gillette, the chair of the House Elections Committee, your incumbent rep up there who's seen me in action. And in fact, every single Republican on the House Elections Committee has endorsed me. And those are the people who know me best and know my work best, and they like what they see. So I'm very proud to have all of those and many, many others. If you want to see them all, you can go to my website, alexforaz.com, alexforaz.com. Read about me, find out ways to get involved or help out, and we'd certainly appreciate that. And don't forget that the election is on the 21st of July. That's the last day to vote, and make sure that you do, because people nationally are going to be looking at our early vote turnout numbers to go, hey, is it worth investing in helping Republicans in Arizona take their state back? And bring the golden age home. And so your turnout in the primary is going to send a national signal to those folks who are looking. Make sure you vote. Don't leave it to chance. Get it done.
You know, fans of this show, all 17 listeners, know that how I feel about early voting. Okay, there's so much that can happen in that 3 weeks and 6 days or whatever it is now. To me, it goes back to Christmas, early voting. But there's so much that can happen between now and the 21st of July as to why I would not or would vote for one candidate or the other. You know, we used to call it the October surprise in the general election. But now, how do you feel about early voting?
I feel about early voting that the best way to vote is the way that you're going to be sure that you actually are going to vote. Now, me personally, I'm a purist. I vote on election day, and I've always voted on election day for my entire life. A long time ago, I used to be on the early voter list, and my ballot never seemed to make its way to the right address, and I was always scrambling and ended up voting on election day anyway. And I go, you know, forget about it. I'm going to vote on election day. But a lot of people, they have a job or caregiving responsibilities or something else where they can't be absolutely sure they're going to make it to the polls on election day. And if you're one of those people, I highly encourage you to locate a early in-person vote center. If there's one convenient to you, that in my opinion is the very best way of voting earlier. And if there's not one, then make sure you get your mail-in ballot in. We've lost so many elections on this state because Republicans left their mail-in ballot lying on their kitchen counter. Don't be that guy. Make sure that you get it in.
Okay. The Secretary of State's office also has other responsibilities that are business related and other policies that are related to the Secretary of State's office. Can you tell us what those are?
Yeah, so the Secretary of State is responsible for registering DBAs or doing business as. So if you, let's say you have you're a plumber and you do business under a certain trade name, we register those. The Secretary of State's office is responsible for maintaining and operating the state archives, things like that. I've had to deal with the Secretary of State's office in my capacity as a practicing lawyer. I know very well the administrative headache that can be caused with dealing with that office, and you can be sure you're going to have a streamlined process for your business as well. But by far, the predominant responsibility of that office is elections administration. It's the state's chief elections officer. And because Arizona is one of the most important swing states in the country, that means that control of the White House, control of Congress, it runs directly through that office. The Secretary of State's the person who determines whether those are going to be free and fair elections where everybody is treated neutrally and equally. Right now, we don't have a guy who's willing to do that. And if you care about anything that's not elections administration, but that is touched by the president, Congress, or the state legislature, you ought to care about who your Secretary of State is, because the process often dictates the result when it's not properly administered and lawfully run.
We may have touched on this a little bit earlier, but I wanted to really save it towards the end. What is your vision for the Office of Secretary of State? And what are your short-term goals? What do you think the first thing you will do when you assume the Secretary of State's office if you should win in November?
My number one priority for that office is the priority the state law and federal law assigns, which is to clean up the state's voter rolls. Our voter rolls in the state are a disaster. And I know this because my friend Justin Heap, in the little year and a half since he got sworn into office, has already removed 500,000 invalid registrants from Maricopa County's voter rolls. That's about 20% of all the voters, or all the names that we had on the rolls, not voters, should never have been there. It is very difficult for the public to have confidence in their elections when our voter rolls are that dirty, and it presents a huge security concern. Now, in Maricopa County, we have a very good, efficient recorder who got that cleanup done. Some other counties do as well, but there's a lot, most especially Pima County, I'm looking at you, that go to great lengths in conjunction with the Secretary of State, that go to court to block any efforts to make them clean up their voter rolls. When I'm Secretary of State, they will comply with state and federal law, or I will see them in court.
Well, I remember when I was growing up in Nevada, and I registered to vote, and it was always, you want to vote in the general, you want to vote in the primary, because if you missed, I think if you missed two generals in a row, you were dropped automatically. Whatever happened to that? Or was that even a law in Arizona at all, ever?
Yeah, that is the law in Arizona. And Fontes and his protege, the radical socialist-endorsed Pima County Recorder, have been going to court to block or slow down that process. I sued him in 2024 over it, asking for records of his compliance with those laws, and he wrote back to my clients that he didn't have any. So he didn't have any records of doing the principal part of his job. He's just decided not to do the voter roll maintenance responsibilities of the office, and to totally, at the most charitable explanation, to abdicate them and to fight all efforts to force the county recorders to do their jobs. That's what this guy is. He is a chaos agent. And it's no wonder that ever since he was first elected and ran his first election back in 2018 as Maricopa County Recorder, the elections have just fallen apart in this state. It's because this guy has intentionally tried to change the rules of the road in a way that has caused the system to collapse. And so it's time for him to go. My vision for that office is to restore our elections to ones that work. Things as basic as putting in place proper testing requirements, proper requirements for the equipment, common sense things like the microchips can't be made in the People's Republic of China, which I think most Arizonans would agree they shouldn't be. Okay. And having elections that when you go to vote, you're going to be proud of the way that your state conducts your elections. Your kids are going to be proud of the way their state conducts elections, and they're going to grow up understanding what it means to be a citizen in this great country, and that their vote can really change the world, that they have that power because there's a system that lets them exercise it and lets them know that it has been properly exercised.
So finally, I want to thank you for making yourself so available in such a short time, too. Folks, I literally texted Alex about, I don't know, yesterday morning and got an answer about, he called me 40 minutes later. And I was really surprised. I know I sounded surprised on the phone because normally you don't get that quick of a response from a candidate. So I really want to thank you for that. But with the minute we have left, tell people why they should vote for Alexander Colladan.
You should vote for me because I have a 15-year track record standing up for the civil rights of Arizona voters in court and in the legislature. Because I've authored, passed, and twisted Katie Hobbs's arm into having her sign groundbreaking bipartisan election security packages. Because I managed to accomplish what no other Republican in the country has and get the SAVE Act on your ballot. And you should vote for me because we deserve to have elections that are free, fair, transparent, and lawfully run in a way that every Arizonan can have confidence in. I know I can deliver it. My track record proves I can deliver it, but only you can put me in a position to do it. So make sure to vote.
All right. Great. Alex, thanks for being on the show today. My listeners really appreciate it. I really appreciate it as well. So, we'll remind people again that primary election day is July 21st, and that is a Tuesday, of course. And by the way, Alex, I'll have Senator Hilde Angus on the show on July 21st because she's unopposed. She's not running, and she can kind of go over what her legacy is on her 2 years in the Senate. So that'll be kind of exciting for listeners, don't you think?
Wonderful. Say hi for me.
All right, I sure will. Or maybe you just did, right? All right. Alex Kaladin, thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, you bet. All right, I'm going to come back with a final shot in a moment. A little more Kid Rock. He's going to say a little bit about Johnny Cash. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's huge!
Try your favorite beach drink.
A margarita so big, you gotta bring a friend.
Mondo!
Your place for lunch and dinner.
The Chair.
Are you ready?
We're all here.
Because we're not all there.
The Chair Restaurant.
On the water, English Village.
We are definitely not all there. All right. Tomorrow on the show, the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Thanks for listening. Should be a great Independence Day this Saturday. No wind.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.